Right, is that us?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right, so episode 11, we're here with Seamus Fox and Noel Smith. So we recorded a wee intro before he's landed. We give you a quick wee introduction, but you can introduce yourself better than we can. Like, so do you want to tell our listeners who you are and a wee bit of context about yourselves? Or?
No. You always seem to go first. Because I want to trump yours. You do whatever you say. Right, okay. You do, and then I'll say I'm better.
All right. Okay, go ahead. Seamus Fox, a personal trainer originally. I'm the owner of FF Fitness, which is a personal training facility in Springtown here in Derry. And I am co-owner of Elevate with my friend Noel here beside me.
Assistant manager.
My assistant. I suppose background. Yeah. Background, I've been personal training maybe now about 15 years, 13 to 15 years. Started out back in pro gym originally. Kind of got on the whole personal training side from bodybuilding, from competing.
Yeah.
After the 2005, I competed as a first-timer category in NABA Northern Ireland. I won that, and that kind of led me on to being a personal trainer. Started off in pro gym. And then moved on to Fitness First. Worked in Fitness First for around a year before it closed, and I was out of work and looking for a gym. And I ended up back in the sites again, basically working as a roofer and between different jobs and things like that. And then got back into personal training again. And things just kind of quickly escalated from there. Once I started getting back into it and realising that this is kind of where I wanted to be, started taking it really serious and started to actually make a business from it.
Yeah.
From then until then, I've kind of went in a few different directions, to be fair, in terms of a personal training career. I personal trained then in the City Hotel for a while, and then back down the Energy when it was where Fitness First was. And then I went to Australia briefly and then come back and started the whole bootcamp thing, Fighting Fit.
Yeah. And that's you to where you are now.
That's nearly the podcast over. We ran out of time.
Well, there's been a lot of stuff in between, obviously. When I come back from Australia, it was kind of coming back again and trying to build up my portfolio again, basically. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of clients that left, obviously, when I went away. So I came back with the original plan of just coming back as a personal trainer. And then a couple of friends who'd contacted me about a boot camp. Yeah. We had a boot camp run before we left. Came back, started the boot camp with around 10 people on a beach, basically. And then just seen that quickly, like, escalating from 10 one month to 20 the next month, 30, 40, 50, 60. Sooner or later, there was 80 people to 100 people turning up outside and parks on the beach. And it kind of gave me, right, okay, this is something a lot bigger than what I was anticipating.
Yeah.
And I can actually make a really good business out of this.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happened. And it quickly evolved. It kind of quickly spread. It spread onto different locations from Derry and Donegal and County Derry and things like that. And then we opened up our first facility, which was Fighting Fit Bootcamp. It was kind of the first bootcamp gym that was designed specifically for bootcamps.
Yeah.
Getting people off the parks, getting people off beaches, and getting them on an indoor facility.
Yeah.
And that kind of quickly grew as well too. We outgrew that within 10 months, and then we moved into a bigger unit, which is kind of where we're at now. And things have just kind of grew steadily from there.
Yeah. So Noel, how are you going to trump that now?
Fucking with a really short and sweet, I'm a PT. That's about it. That's all I've got going for me. We did have a really successful podcast until we came in here and seen the setup in here. And now we think we're just a cheap shit version of this. No, my name is Noel Smith. Obviously, I'm a personal trainer as well. I kind of just work mainly in body composition. Started off PTing about 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago, professionally, if you can, I'll put wee speech marks in that. It just kind of grew from there. Started with transformations, worked on kind of show prep stuff. Again, came from bodybuilding style background with muscle comps and physique shows, that type of background. Moved away from that now completely. Actually, have my own show, ran in the city here and in Belfast. XFS that I no longer have anything to do with. And I've kind of just more gone into the mindset style of things rather than just focusing solely on some how someone looks. I kind of was completely results based at the beginning, and that's what kind of drove me. And then when I started actually looking into people's results and what was happening post-transformation, post-show, and what they were really kind of coming to me in the first place for wasn't mainly to get abs or to get glutes or anything else. There was a deeper sense, and only when I started to question my own kind of value system and my own beliefs did I kind of see that that wasn't what they were coming to me for. And then what I realized was I wasn't fucking getting results. They weren't the real results that someone was coming for. So I've kind of branched away from all that. I run my own facility with Kira Malak, Priority Change, over in the Waterside. And we just focus on body comp and try and get, obviously, mindset into it and people kind of thinking more about themselves. And it's just a bit deeper now. And personal training, as you know, has kind of moved away from just
transformations
and things. And now, don't get me wrong, this is still a transformation because it's a mind and body thing. And what's happened with the transformation when we started it, I mean, I said this yesterday in our podcast, I pity my clients 6 years ago, you know, what I put them through and what I've done because I've evolved so much since then and blah, blah, blah. But what we really do focus on is trying to change that mind. And we still use the word transformation, even though it has become a dirty word. Like, like boot camps that essentially become a dirty word.
They become washed out.
People take them on because they see the pound signs, because they've seen Foxy with 50 or 60 people thinking, fuck, I could do that. Next thing, people are getting injured. Next thing, they're cutting prices down. More volume of people. No advice given out. And transformations were the same thing. They just got diluted by people who were doing the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. And it was all about results in a photograph. And I suppose we did kind of start that whole photographic evidence of how kind of good thing. You were as a personal trainer. So you put it forward, in 10 weeks I can do this to you. Do you know what I mean? And this all stems from bodybuilding, because bodybuilding is a sport where you basically come in 3 months before a show, you get you're a certain shape, and that's why I actually the idea of transformations was born out of. I've seen boys coming in the gym 3 months before a show being kind of like 25% body fat, and then just all of a sudden 3 months time, I was like, I can't even recognize that guy. I remember the actual person. It was D Robson was doing a show, and he came into the gym and he was stripping off down the back, and I was like, jeez, your man's in some shape now. I knew D, but I hadn't seen him in so long, and I swear they were all IDs looking good. I thought, that's D Robson. So fucking hell, it doesn't even look like the same person.
Unbelievable.
So I started thinking ahead, well, if that can be done at that kind of level, now there's obviously a lot of, well, I'm not saying you were on supplements, but whenever I was doing shows, I was on supplements. Damn it, might have to edit that one. Anyway, but what we were just trying to think, right, this could be a real world scenario. We could actually bring this to Sandra or fucking Michael in the street and go, I can take you from being out of shape, Dave. Maybe not 10% body fat or below, but I can get you in shape with the program they're using. Now, the program was basically cut carbs, and do loads of cardio, or loads and loads of... No, it was kind of simplistic, and it evolved, obviously, through time. But that's basically where I came from then. Obviously, I do a lot of online coaching now, which is why I'm putting on the pounds, because the activity levels are starting to drop. And then Foxy came along with the idea of doing Elevate. Now, we had talked about Elevate a while back, and it was him that reached out to me and said, you know, we should do this, mentoring coaches. And that has obviously sparked a big interest in me, because that's results. That's proper results. You can see people changing their whole
people's business changing and their lives changing.
And their whole outlook and their whole kind of their value system. Because we get them, they ask the same questions that we asked of ourselves. They try and promote our businesses and make ourselves grow. And we're trying to get them out of that fixed mindset and their growth mindset, you know. And it's great. It's fucking so different to me. And the results is something that drives both of us. And this is a whole different kind of set of results, if you know what I mean, that we're looking for from people. So why? And that's basically where we come from.
What was the inspiration for that, the Elevate? Like, where did that come from?
Well, I coached... I've coached about 70 PTs anyway in terms of their body composition and trying. And I like coaching personal trainers because, as you know, Aiden, as a personal trainer, there is that barrier that we have against all our personal trainers. Yes. Like, it's competition. Like, you know, I don't know, we can't properly. Now, I have fucking loads in common with you, but yet there might have been a barrier there to say, I can't actually reach out and chat to you because fuck, he's competition for me, you know, he's doing this and he might take my clients. And so see, to do that, like, was a fucking big thing. And we'd done seminars, and when we got the rest of the team and together into one room, like they bonded fucking really well, and they were able to say, you know what, you're not actually competition. No. Like we're not fishing from a pool of so many people that one personal trained.
Yeah,
the thing is, everyone's like available. What we're trying to get people to understand is when you're really clear in your own values and the people that you're trying to work with and who you're trying to help, people become less of a competition anyway. Mm. If you know who you need to help and who you're trying to target, then you're not really worried about competition or who what other gym is working with this person. No one's gym like half. 3 miles across the street from where I am, we're not competing with each other.
No.
And us two working together has actually enhanced our own businesses together anyway as well too. So I think if you can get, and a lot of personal trainers do, they get stuck in that competitive mindset where they hit on other trainers because they see them doing well. And a lot of trainers are afraid they actually reach out and ask for help.
Aye.
And then all of a sudden, sometimes their business fails. They don't have the clients coming through the door. And then they do have to go and ask for help. Sometimes it's too late. Sometimes they give up, which is a lot of guys that we've been working with who were kind of near that stage. They've actually started personal training, stopped, and then come back again because they know they need the help. They actually market themselves and put themselves out there properly.
Mm.
And I think, as Noel says, within the industry, there is that big ego, testicle thing within personal trainers where they're kind of afraid they ask for help or be seen to be weaker than another person asking for help, which is just nonsense.
Well, I come from a position where I believe that. You know, I am the person that I'm talking, like I do gym and tonic videos for a bit of crack about personal trainers sometimes.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe one of them, which was the dodgy PT that spotted people. I am that personal trainer. I was there and done all that shit. Like, I love the show. When people say, oh, you do a show when you become a personal trainer, you do a photo show. I'm ticking boxes here. Like, I say that I was thinking someone was competition, I was thinking that, and I know where people are coming from. Like, I've been there. I've thought there was a scarcity of clients out there, and I thought that I was a failure and I didn't know enough and all that shit that we're talking about in the actual Elevate course. Like, we've been there and lived through it. Like, and obviously they're going to face that tribulations, and as I said, they have to start asking questions themselves and start thinking outside the box, really, or they're going to die. You're not going to succeed in the game because you're going to be more caught up about fucking what you're doing, what Aiden's doing, what Seamus is doing, and what I'm supposed to be doing, how I'm supposed to grow.
And that's driving your business. Fear's driving your business then, instead of actually being creative
and driving your prices. And like, they're just coming down and down, going, right, well, I'm not good enough, I'm fucking, I don't know enough, he knows more than me, he's got more clients, so the only way I can beat him is being cheaper than him.
Yeah.
And then what happens is you're working for £5 a fucking hour.
That's what I did when I got my level 3. I just went down way a low price.
Yeah.
And then it went on for so long and you don't know when to put them up, do you know what I mean?
It's hard to put them up.
You're afraid, do you?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're trying to teach them guys as well too, for a lot of guys that are just coming on board and they've just started personal training and just qualified. No, don't go too low, because where can you go? And then all of a sudden you do get people leaving, and we understand that you're trying to get people in maybe to try and showcase your ability so that you can get results and showcase that, and people do it for free. But then again, you're attracting the wrong type of clients. You don't actually get them clients long term anyway, so it's about actually valuing yourself. You're realizing you've went and studied, you've paid to do this course, and you can help that person that you're trying to help. You have enough knowledge to do that. So value yourself that way and actually charge what you're supposed to be charging.
Yeah.
And when you start off in that level playing field, I think that making that transition up is easier for you then.
I think we have Owen Lacey coming on the 31st of January. Seamus was saying he's to start. Like, Owen would, like, my ego would be completely destroyed sitting with Owen in a room because he knows fucking so much more than I know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I don't compare myself to him. And my clients, some of them might get a bit from him, some of them might not gel with him at all. Do you know what I mean? And it's, I used to view a personal trainer, how good they were, by how much they knew. Do you know what, how much you know, like how many courses have you done, what's your qualifications, like what way are you talking online? And that's not really how to view every personal trainer, because that's not what most people are looking for.
No.
Sandra doesn't want to know about in-depth anatomy and physiology. But I was getting that into my head, and that was where my fixed mindset was to try and grow. I had to realize, he's not really my competition. I just have to be good, the best PT I can be for Sandra. And that's not sometimes Owen Lacey or anyone
else.
But
a lot of times it's not even anything to do with how technically you are, or as he says, how much you know about anatomy and physiology. It's how you are as a person. Can somebody relax around you? Are they able to talk to you? Do they enjoy the session? Is it a good environment, a good atmosphere when you're actually training that person? That makes a lot of more difference to that person than anything else.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. You see it a lot in the gym too, don't you? People just delivering word salad to their clients. And you know what they're trying to do, like, you know.
They pick themselves up.
Yeah.
Look what I learned off YouTube this week.
I know.
Exactly, yeah.
Intention's there, obviously, and the care is there with a lot of them. They really do care and they want to make it work, but they just don't know the systems and, you know, how the psychology of the clients actually working. And then some are more focused on getting new clients in with marketing and constant updates and videoing their clients doing fucking workouts and not actually worrying about keeping their clients in.
Yeah.
You know, being wondering why the hell's my drop-off rate 60%?
Yeah.
That's probably because I spent most of the time videoing my client doing the workout than actually asking them, how are you getting on?
Yes.
You know, what's your progress like?
And
But anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
We've regressed or digressed again.
So I suppose we should probably talk about what Blaine's doing then.
We should.
What he's make of it?
We think it's mammoth, a massive, massive challenge. We're just getting a wee bit off of there, and it's like, couch to 250K is just, fuck, what a feat.
Yeah.
I heard about it a while back, like, and just thought, inspirational. Like, you know, when you see, like, this is what Sandra needs. You know, this is what someone that really doesn't think they can do anything needs. Like, they need to be told that you need to have belief that you've come from fuck all. Yeah. And said you're going to do a 250K race. It's just unreal, man. Even to me, I'd be thinking, and I did take inspiration off. In fact, I signed up for 4 half marathons in 4 days, which I hate running.
Yeah.
And I've done, and this is coming in September, and I thought, I need to do something like that.
Yeah.
So it has actually inspired me to do it, and it really is an unreal feat, man. Yeah.
What was your initial inspiration that you said about the half marathon? Was that kind of the initial spark?
I was coming near the end of the training for the marathon last year, and I knew I hadn't put on enough effort. You know, there comes a point where you know it's too late. You know, I was two or 3 weeks out, and I was like, there's no way I'm finishing here in a good time.
Two weeks out, we were having a cure out in one of the mid-house, and you thought, I don't think I'm going to be doing too well on this.
Did you write the program with us?
Can I get that?
So I think it was probably during that cure out that, you know, any time we were drinking.
So you were steaming. Right, that's good.
Any time we're drinking, Aiden signs you up to stupid stuff.
Or maybe not to drink either.
That's where the best ideas come out when you're, you know, 10 cans on. But, so we're sitting there drinking. And any time me and Aiden's been drinking for the past 2 years, we've always said, we're going to do a podcast someday. You know, Aiden's big on the podcast. I've been listening to podcasts a long time as well. So we'd always chat about doing one. And then, as I say, about 2 weeks out, I knew, you know, that this marathon wasn't going to do well for me, but I wasn't letting it put me down. And we had seen an advert for the race. Ryan had posted a video on our WhatsApp group of, you know, this crazy race. They ran like a documentary on it. And then I was out training the next day, and I was like, I'm going to sign up for this. And so I text Aiden, I says, listen, I've got this idea. I'll sign up for this race. You train me for it. You've got no experience training someone for an ultra endurance event. I've got no experience competing in an ultra endurance event. We'll document the whole thing for 10 months. Even if I don't finish it, it'll make a good wee project to work on for 10 months. So that's kind of what it was then.
So basically, you couldn't do the full marathon, so you thought, I'll do it.
I looked and I says, I've got 2 weeks left in this marathon. I'm definitely not doing well, but I've got 10 months to get to the gym of this one.
Was there any stage where you started your initial prep and went, bit off more than I can chew here?
With the 250K?
Yeah.
I would say if we hadn't done the podcast, I wouldn't be training for it.
Accountability just then?
That was... By going public, you know, we done a podcast week one and stuck that out there, and I was like, right, well, I've told the world I'm doing this now, so I can't back out. And definitely that's what spurred us on.
You think that happens a lot in training, like, doesn't it? And when people are hitting goals, like, it's one of the things that people say to do. Put it out there to the world, tell people you're doing this, so it puts some sort of onus on you to do it.
I had a mad idea of trying to compete again, and I was wanting to do the BMBF show in England. It was about 4 years ago, and I think I got there about 9 weeks out, 8 or 9 weeks out. And I remember the initial thing that made me stop was my mother came to visit the house one day, and I just passed her, went straight up the stairs, didn't speak a word, and went under my bed. This is about lunchtime. And I got back up a couple hours later, came down the stairs, and she was gone. And I was like, nah, no way, what am I doing? What am I even trying to do this for? No, I don't need to do this anymore. Like, I don't have anything to prove, and my business is at a good stage. And to be honest, it was actually affecting my business anyway. It wasn't actually going to enhance my business or enhance me as a personal trainer or anything else. So I got that stage, but I did the same thing where I made it public. This is what I'm doing. And then to try and retract that was like,
the problem was your intentions to do that was to try and become a better personal trainer and improve your business and maybe prove a wee bit to yourself.
It wasn't for anything like that. It was actually for a personal goal, just to have something to aim at again for training. No, just to have some type of structure. Like, going back to when I did compete years ago, that was a massive motivation for me, because I was coming from a stage where I hadn't got any work and I hadn't got a job and I hadn't got this. And I thought, well, this could lead on to me being a personal trainer. So there was a big motivation there for me to better myself. But this time around, it was kind of just for my own personal structure and training to have something to focus on.
But when it conflicts with your other goals that you have and values in your life, then it becomes a hassle. Like, any type of goals that does that. Same way if you're saying, right, I want to be a millionaire, but I'm really a family man. So family man's high up on my priority list, but I want to be a millionaire. But then suddenly you're not a family man anymore because you're fucking... So you'll basically turn around some stage.
Well, one suffers for sure.
100%. Like, but like, has there been a time in your training where you have wanted to just...
Sag it off? Christmas?
I seen you done a boxing day run, was it? Or a boxing day. It mustn't have been a workout, was it?
Was that Lock Salt?
I think it was Lock Salt.
It's like, how many days are you training? What's the... how do you fucking even write a program? There's so many questions I have, sir. Like, how would you program that? Like, especially from not being from that background.
Well, that's how I went down there too, going, right, how the fuck did I do this here? Like, but I had a few people, like, one of my gear friends...
That's gold.
One of my girlfriend's uncle. Uncle is the end of that sentence is important. Competes in Ironman events.
Right. Who's that?
Paul McGill, we call him.
Right.
So that was what I did first. I went and met with him, and I know Danny Quigley very well too.
Triathlons.
So I met them too, and I was like, right, how do I go about this here? Like, and I had a few misconceptions to you about how you were supposed to train, go on there, like. You know, obviously the event's extremely difficult. So I was thinking, right, this is going to be, the training here is going to have to be extremely difficult every session. And the two of them were like, no, that's not how it works. You need to be working very, very low and very, very long. You know, so Blaine has to be coming on from 4 hour session and feeling grand. Do you know what I was like? How the fuck do we do this here? So we went and got, I don't know if you've ever had a lactate test, no? So we got a lactate test on, and we had his heart rate zones. So from that, it was a lot easier to develop a program then. What I did was we're tippering up every 4 weeks and then we drop back down a wee bit. That was the first 20 weeks. And then we were tipping up, then we're dropping back down, and then tipping up again, and dropping back down, tipping up. It was just gradually getting higher and higher and higher and higher.
So you're working within heart rate zones?
Heart rate zones, aye. So he has to stay at like 151 beats per minute. Now, it doesn't always work out like that, you know, like a change in the gradient, and it's really difficult for him to. He's got like 5 beats per minute that he needs to stay on to be in that zone. So like, exactly. just a wee up a tick and it's gone, like, you know.
I suppose the whole aim is to, as you say, like, you want him coming in fresh. It's like a fighter. You know, he beats them in the run up to a fight, and there's no point, like.
Basically, what we're competing against here is fatigue, like. If he fatigues during the race, he's hammered, like, you know.
So lactate, really?
So lactate. So so
what happens if he's had... Have you looked at adrenaline or stress in terms of changing the heart rate and changing what... Is there any other external factors that would change?
So really what we've been focusing on is the lactate, and the fueling's a big one for us too during a race, because...
During it, obviously.
Because we literally have never done like a fueling protocol for any event, never mind a 24-hour one, do you know what I mean? So,
but you're up working with, was it Jordanstein?
So
that's more for VO2 max testing, is it?
Well, we had Kevin on. He's a dietitian, so he covered the whole fueling protocol. Yeah. Well, give us tips on protocol.
I suppose
it is really hard to nail down, because everybody's completely different.
That's exactly it.
It's your first time as well too, so you haven't got nothing to actually go back on and go, right, well look, I did it this way this time. So it's all trial and error no matter what.
It's all trial and error, and there's no like scientific one road they do this on. Like, you know, everybody talk, they say, take this gel, and then you talk to somebody else and like, no, don't take that gel, it's going to make you throw up, take this, and then so you're just going, right, what do we do here? And it's basically just do a couple of long sessions, try the fuel and see what works for them, see what doesn't, you know, and that's just what, that's
see how you reckon. And how are you finding it all overall, then? Are you enjoying it now at this stage?
Enjoying it, but it's time consuming. Well, that's what definitely.
What have you family like?
I have a wee boy as well. He's 4. I'm getting married 2 weeks after the race, so.
I was coming on here
with more stress upon more stress.
If you had to turn around and said to me, you know, why would you not consider doing something? I guess I'd say, oh, well, because I've got 2 kids and a wife, like, and I just wouldn't have the time. I'm thinking, this boy must be single. And if he's not single now, well, the 2 years are going to be single by the end of this.
You can pick one of bites.
But he's smart about it. He planned the wedding after the race. Yeah. People are on board the whole way through.
I'm just hoping I don't have to roll him down the aisle in a wheelchair.
You got married in Lostebeg Island, didn't you?
Is that where you're?
We're getting married in Lostebeg. And I tell you what, I was saying to Danny, Seamus Fox and Noel Smith coming on, she was like, he got married in Lostebeg, didn't he? She says, that's how I found out about Lostebeg. I've seen his wedding on Facebook, so thanks to you and getting married.
Thanks to you, I'm down about fucking 20 grand. That's amazing, man. You'll love it, like, at some spot. Like. So when is the race, then?
23rd of March. So.
Fuck, I'd love to go up and see that, man. That's be a spectacle.
Where's it kick off, Blaine? Where's it start?
Starts in Girton Adventure Centre, and then it ends in Girton Adventure Centre, and you can't do a whole lap. Nope.
Even watching that event will be tough. 24 hours of spectating.
Loads of coffee.
He's sitting there going, fucking don't tell me about it. Tell me about it, sir. You've done nothing. I'm pulling him with this man.
I'm down there complaining just Monday.
You'll do that another 24 hours.
Any chance you could do it in 2? I'll fucking Love Island's on here.
I have to meet one of my girlfriends.
Oh, boys out here. That's amazing, man. It really is. You should be super proud, like, even getting this part. It's just
That's what I was saying to Aiden. See, even if we don't finish this, even, you know, if I crash out after the second stage or something, the whole journey of running this podcast and all the people that we've met and all the stuff that we've learned, it'll be worth it anyway, regardless, you know.
So. Definitely.
You've inspired people already. Like, you know, you've done, I suppose, what you might have set out to do, and obviously in your task as well, is what looking good because he's still here, he's still doing it, whatever, even the psychology you've used to keep him in the game is working, like, you know, so far, so good, man. Like, it's an achievement, even to this point.
We're only, what, 10 weeks out?
You're only 10 weeks out, man. That's crazy.
I'll do it as long as we make it injury free.
Of course, that's the kind of aim, isn't it, man? Just to
we've too many people following the journey now. There's people writing under the page saying, we're from Dublin and we're from the Cork and we're following what's going on. Like, amazing, good luck and all that.
It's like that thing, isn't it, where you have to be like 4%. It's not even 1% better every day, as you say. Anything, it's a Goldilocks theory or something it's called. It's like falling in between, you know, not too hot or not too cold, just right in the middle, and it's falling in. They're just pushing you enough to get an adaptation, but not too much to get a fucking injury. That's a hard balance they have. And I always think, on paper, maybe you can do that balance out, but in reality, when you look at someone, it's slightly different. Like, you can have bad days, and you're going to go, oh, fuck, well, we had planned this, but that's not actually what's going to happen. And I suppose it's down to you to actually look at him and say, no, not today, but not today, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, see, just from meeting people, like, that's changed the plan, you know, because people are telling us, no, you need to do this, you need to do that. So the plan has been constantly adapting to, like, you know.
But I suppose it's like any program. If you're working with an athlete, especially, you know, it does change. It's like Noel says, you know, some days there's going to come on where they are maybe a wee bit fatigued, or they have an injury, or a wee bit of a pull, and you have to adapt and change for that person every single
time. Also, we had an event lineup. You know, just when we signed up for it, we're like, right, we're going to do this event, just to get some event training, because one of the big things was on the marathon was Blaine just took off. You know, the adrenaline was at the start.
Course. And you go with other people's pace and stuff. And
burnt out after the 5 mile.
So we were like, right, we need to get you know, the mind frame of being in an event in our head, so we're not nervous and we're not, you know, full of adrenaline.
Because that's what I was asking you, like the adrenaline thing, because he hasn't done the event, you know, and there's so much lead up with this and stuff, like you have to do mock up things.
Yes, that's it. There's no way of getting rid of that, you know what I mean? It's going to be there, it's just knowing what they do when it's there. Like.
The problem with the events then, but was it was eliminating days of training.
Of course,
know,
the program was messed up, but it, the advantages you got from doing it, man, would have kind of overruled
that. That was how we did, what, maybe five or six?
And I still have a master not taken off this time. Still get caught up in the whole the adrenaline. Like,
Is it Tom, do you ever hear Tommy Tiernan and his friend Declan Moffat? No, did you? He sprints, he goes to the front of the marathon, he's never done a marathon before, like, and he thinks, you know, I'm like, I'm pretty good at this, like, you know, so he goes to the very front of the marathon, you know, where all the Kenyans and all are, and he fucking sprints for the first mile, he stays with him, so he's first for the first
get
mile.
A few photographs at the front.
And then his legs don't work, so he goes, I don't want to just stop, because, like, you know, my fucking, my ego won't let me. So he just veered off in the ditch, and threw himself in the ditch. that's the way the half marathon.
You'll find me in a ditch in Donegal somewhere.
The half marathon, which I done, which is just so peels in comparison. It's like our podcast compared to your podcast. No, this setup, like, I'm like, fuck's sake, I shouldn't have come in here with my ego. I done that in the half marathon. I thought I can. Should be winning this, probably right up there, top three. Like, came dead last, but I ran at the start, and you do let adrenaline take you, and tough.
You think that's bad? I did it in a 5K. I was like, it was last year. I was doing vegetarian diet for about 8 weeks, and I was doing loads of HIIT sessions. I was feeling really, really fit. You know, like really fit. And I was like, right. I did jog in the bog last year. It was grand. I'm going to do it this year again. I'm going to try and push for sub 20. Right?
So I was
like, right, that's what I was like. I'm going to push for sub 20. I'll do it, no bother. Like, went in and I was like, up at the front. I was like, right, I'm going to just stay with these boys here. Fuck it. Like, went down and around. And by the time I got under a flavor, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm hammered here. Hey, hammered. And then there was a point. See, when I come back down past the swim bass, I started walking. And then one of the boys who trains on Raw. No, just a member came past me. He's like, morning. And I was like, away we go again.
I do, when I'm out running the roads too, like, it's quite early in the morning. So if I'm out myself, especially, if I get tired, you know, I'll walk. And then when a car comes, I'll run. And then when the car goes, I'll walk. And then, you know, you have to kind of.
I must be doing intervals. That's your excuse anyway. Everybody knows you. I'm doing intervals.
But that's the big advantage with the heart rate training. If you're tracking your heart rate, you know, right, if I stick at this zone, I won't fatigue at all. I can keep going and keep going. So it's more discipline then, just stick at this pace. Don't let any distractions come in.
That stuff can only take you so far. Like it doesn't last for 24 hours. At, like, you know, events that your legs are going to start giving out on you.
Of course.
Your head will probably go way before your legs will.
Yeah. I think the psychology of it all is fucking crazy, man. I think that I heard a story about a guy in Derry. I don't want to name names because I'm not 100% sure. But he basically done the Liam Ball. First Liam Ball he done, and he'd done really well. He got like fucking right up there. He never really trained for it, just went out and done it. So he decided, fuck, I'm pretty good at this. I'm going to do triathlon training and train and done a few triathlons after that, and was never able to match his time that he'd done in his first triathlon.
That's crazy.
Fucking crazy, because that's all psychology, because he's doing the right training principles. So it just shows you how fucking powerful his mind was and his necessity to keep going was in probably the first one. We didn't know. He didn't. He literally didn't know. He was blinded.
No pressure.
So he probably didn't know how tough it was, or he hadn't let all the external factors come into his head to say, you can't do this. You know, he was thinking, fuck, I can do this. I'm fucking fit. You know, and he didn't have, oh, there's such and such beside me that's running in this time. And, you know, and it's crazy how fucking.
Expectation.
And it's crazy how powerful the mind can be in this game. And that's exactly my thing would be, your body might last. Or your, I'm not saying this only happened, but I'd be more worried about my body lasting, but my mind not. You know.
It says, like, see if you go onto the RISA's website, that's what they say. You know, this isn't for, like, the top athletes. This is for somebody who has real mental durability.
Are you doing anything, brain training? Are you doing anything in terms of mindset and psychology? Are you reading different things, listening to different things for that plane?
Not really. No, well, we're in this study at the minute, which is a sports psychology study, so I'm hoping to take a good bit away from that. What's that?
We have the lead scientist is coming on the podcast too.
Aye, so no, good. It's heading it up. He's on next week. Like.
We were up at Noel put on a lecture too, and they had like some of the top guys in the game. It was like a panel of them, and we were 7 or 8 of them. A few top athletes, and then about five scientists up there too. And it was all about what they called stop and resist. Stopping and resisting. Stopping, that's what it was. And how do you know how to resist stopping, and how do that inner voice, you know, it's just constantly telling you, you're
bitch, self-talk, man,
give up.
Man,
give up. That's it.
What like, did they say? What was there any key points there?
Like, oh, Jesus, there was loads.
Loads. Even we like physical tips that you can do. You know, he was saying about
triggers.
When you're running, when you hit the wall, I suppose in a marathon, you know, your whole body tenses up. You tend to make fists and that. But you know, wee things you can do, like if you imagine you're holding crisps in your fingers, hard enough to hold them, but not enough they break. It relaxes your arms, and then that kind of it distracts your mind.
They're mental triggers or something. And I think they would call them whatever, but it's the same thing. Maybe someone's experiencing seizures and things that they try and do to, you know, take them away from that place that's taking them into it.
Like, that's
it. You do it with, like, anxiety.
That's right.
He was saying about mantras and stuff as well. If you have a wee mantra that you can repeat in your head.
Do you do that?
I don't do it now. No, not at the minute.
Right.
I'm saying some people count when they run, don't they? You know, steps are like 1, 2, 3, 4. And I was like, no, it'd be better to do something like powerful, strong.
Good. Yeah. So that's proper self-talk. Because
you'll be doing some counting for 24 hours.
I'll tell you one which was really good. Like they did this study. They had they got one group to do whenever they feel that, you know, that urge to stop. They got them to smile. Whatever they're doing, they just got them to smile. And they find like a 4% increase in performance.
I do that.
Smiling day when they were
smiling.
I would do that. I'd try and think.
Phone calls. They tell you to do that, salespeople. If you're making a sales call, smile before you actually someone answers the phone, smile.
Because they know that you're in that frame of mind that you're giving them. But the smiling thing, I would try, like, because I think to myself, right, the good things about me actually doing this and getting up and doing the run and doing things that I should be doing and how good it's going to make me feel, and that the fact that I'm better than I was before, I'd be like, oh, fucking, I feel happy at this. Right. But I have been, there's times where I've thought really morbid shit, like thinking, you know, there's one day that I'm not going to be there for my son or for my wife and things, and that starts to really prime me to go, well, I'm fucking here now, like, you know, and I'm actually lucky to be here and be able to go and kiss my sons now and wife. Do you know what I mean?
And that's all about perception, isn't it? And how you frame what you're doing.
But you do have that time on your own, and you're going to be on your own. Whether there's a crowd around you or other people running, you're still basically on your own in your own head. Like, so all stuff is going to be going through your brain.
Do you're normally training on your own, aren't you?
Training my own. Another thing, you're not allowed music in the wrist as well. So I train my music at the moment. So again, that's something that hard. Need to adjust to.
Why would they not allow you to have music?
Well, the reason.
It's the same reason. Well, on the bike, anyway, you can't cycle with headphones. Absolutely. But they did say they want to make the event as hard as possible.
Would you not be better, like, maybe, would you not be better even trying to make that transition now and stop the music?
Well, I try not. When I'm out cycling, I don't use headphones.
Because even I heard Joe Rogan talking about it. No, I don't listen to music when I'm running. It's cheating.
When I done MMA a long time ago, there was instructors came up to us from, I think it was Dublin, and they said, you know, when you're out running and training, don't listen to music. You don't have music when you're in a fight and all this here and blah, blah, blah. And they said, don't do that. It is cheating. And they have that fucking
if you're targeting towards something, you know, an event where you kind of use it, that is a bit of a crutch, like, you know.
But sure. I listen to books have helped me loads, man. I used to listen to, well, probably just Sigma Nutrition and or wee podcasts, because, you know, the educational side of things. But I try and do, right, what can I best do here to advance me? And same with driving. Like, when I drive now, there's just a book comes on automatically. And, you know, I try to think, right, well, I'm just driving here. I need to be doing something else, because time, you know.
You have
time.
All this, you've just this window of time where you're stuck there, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So
you may as well do something constructive.
That's how much you can be absorbing, like, when you're driving.
Exact same thing.
Good.
One of the things they did say as part of the risk, they wanted to make it as hard as possible, you know, so anything that they could do to make it more difficult.
And fuck, if it's not hard enough.
When we were up at that study, one of the things Noel was saying, he's competed on ultra marathons himself, and he says one of the things that he keeps in his head is, if I can make it through the darkness and to sunrise, you know, when you're running and the sun's coming up, it gives you that wee extra bit of energy. And I was thinking that'd be good. And then
amazing.
I was looking at the race schedule then, and it finishes at 5 a.m, so we won't even get the sun. You know, it'll be right through darkness until the end of the race.
So that's another mental aspect. Start,
You'll get the sunrise at the start. At the best,
I'll be like, this is amazing. Then just all downhill
into the dark.
So, but any previous competitors we've been chatting, you know, they all said that they've talked to sheep. You know, that's a few people now that they're running through the darkness.
I just talked to sheep.
Lane's lost it. Oh no.
I'd say there's like a threshold, you get to like 10 hour mark and then you just go on the insanity end. So everybody, just, all the runners are just
doing what they can just to get through.
See, in your own life, what do you think it's changed? Like, because I'm listening to a book called Spark at the moment. I've listened to it already. It's the second time listening. And it's about like a high school. And well, he took it from a high school, Napier High School in America, and how when they adopted like a better PE routine, that, you know, the kids' results went up, basically. That's a quick rundown of it. Yeah. But like, do you feel like other aspects of your life have changed because of the training?
I feel definitely a lot more positive. 100% a lot fitter. But I found myself maybe getting a wee bit bored easier in work. I feel like I'm not as productive in work.
Because it's not stimulating, you know?
No, well, I'm probably finishing everything I have to do in work a lot faster, and then I'm sitting there going, you know.
Probably too, because your attention's elsewhere. Your focus is somewhere else.
I heard of, just when you brought that up, someone was saying about like a successful athlete, and then a top coach came over and they said, you know, what makes someone, you know, really at the upper echelon or a successful athlete, and he said, well, obviously you've got genetics and things coming to it and knowledge and blah blah blah, but he said the big factor that he found was they can cope with boredom. Like they can keep doing the same thing over and over and over
again.
Habits,
wasn't it? Atomic Habits, that book.
Oh, it was an Atomic Habits. There you go. Yeah. They can cope with boredom, and like that. And he said that shocked everyone. Like fucking, they have the ability to just keep doing the repetitive thing. And that, I was like, fuck, that makes sense. Totally makes sense. Like, you know, that they can do that. Like, because it is fucking, like, it can be boring. And you take away music and stuff, like. Unless, well, you're me and I have a lot of good conversations with myself. Like, I have great conversations.
That's one of the things our last episode, I was talking to Blaine about, trying to get him to start meditating, because I've heard someone describe it as the cure for boredom. Like, you know, boredom's just a lack of imagination, basically. And if you can just get comfortable with focusing on the one thing, you can find pleasure on that. Like, you know what I mean?
I find it quite hard. I'm sure Seamus will say the same. Like, for self-talk in our city, it's quite tough. And you had a great story about what you were telling the girl, what she should be saying.
One of the clients I had on, I think it was a couple of years ago, I'm chatting there about, you know, like, I asked her, do you do positive affirmations? And she says, no, what's positive affirmations? I says, it's reaffirming to yourself who you are and who you want to become. So I am strong, I am beautiful, I am powerful, I am confident. And she kind of laughed. She says, no way. Just wouldn't talk to myself like that. I says, but you constantly tell yourself that you're not good enough, you're ugly, you're fat, you're overweight, you're blah, blah, blah. But you accept that. So why would you not accept talking to yourself in a more positive way if it's going to change your self-belief and your patterns and your habits in life? Like, I never thought of it that way. So again, it's getting people to recognize that. Like.
And when he put it like that, I was like, fucking right. Everyone says, everyone I know will say, I'm fat, I'm not this, I'm not 100%. Yeah. But whenever you put it in that light, then you say, do the opposite. They're like, be stupid. Don't do that in Derry.
You know, I think we've evolved to be negatively biased. Like, you know, if you assume the worst, people assume the worst survive. Like, right, you know, if you assume that the shaking in the trees was a lion, you know, the people who assumed that survived, and the ones who didn't, the lion jumped out and got them. You know what I mean? And we're just negative all the time.
You do have, and I've worked at it, like as you say, we do, and it's not necessarily everybody in the city, but there is a negative vibe a lot of the times. And that's something that I've really worked at on myself over the last probably 6-7 years, really, really focused on. They just completely changed my mindset. Don't get me wrong, you get your days, but I do it as a routine. Constantly I do the meditation, I do my positive affirmations, I talk to myself the way I want to actually be, Do you know what I mean? They really confirmed to myself who I am, where I'm going, and what I'm doing. I think it makes a difference.
It does, man. And I think that, like, I'm not even saying people in Derry are negative towards everyone or everyone else. I'm thinking they're more negative towards themselves. And there's so much, like, there's so much potential to be unreal. Like, we're pretty good at sports, like, across the board. Yeah. Even like James McLean and people like that have stepped up in like really high level sports. And even the country as a whole kind of falls into that envelope. Yeah. Like, you've Rory McIlroy and people like that, it's just excelled. Right. Like, and we have that, the ability to do that, but it's just, what are we doing to hold ourselves back and getting there? And I think the social thing is a massive part of it too. Like, we fucking all love drinking. Like, you signed up to a fucking 250k race
from a carrot.
Or a can of beer. But like, no, just, I think.
So there's some positives from drinking.
There's some. So get drunk as fuck and sign up to a race.
Could change your life.
But
we're really awkward to you about positivity, like, aren't we? You know, if you ever see somebody on Facebook patting themselves on the back, you're like, Jesus, man.
Get off your high horse.
You know,
and that's the thing, nobody likes to give themselves a pat on the back. Nobody likes to give them, they'll put themselves down quicker. Like, they'll never give themselves credit. And if you're seen to be giving yourself credit on Facebook or anywhere else, people go, oh, what a twat.
Exactly.
I got all that from books, really, because, you know, I mean, like, I was even with Phil doing mentoring, he's saying, you know, surround yourself with people that's going to be doing that. I was like, where the fuck did I get that? Where am I going to get people to kind of that? Because it's quite hard to find that, like, you know. And so what I did was turn to books a lot and read some personal development stuff and listen to audiobooks and stuff. And that really helped me start asking questions, going, shit, why am I doing this shit? Why am I?
Actually, reading a book at the minute, Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. Have you read it?
No, I haven't read that.
It's really, really good. And it basically has upbringing. Where he compares his real dad to his paternal father, the guy they learned from, which was his rich dad, which was his neighbor's father, and he was a businessman, and he owned, in Hawaii, he owned, loads of different stores and businesses, but he was kind of on the rise at this stage. He wasn't, one of the richest people in Hawaii, who he ended up being, and they went and... Robert Kiyosaki and his friend went to this guy's, the wee boy's father, and asked him to teach him how to make money. And the whole lesson, and it was, he's comparing what the lessons was from his own father, who was a school teacher, well educated, wanted to have a job, safe environment, and get all the benefits from that, where the other guy was completely teaching him something completely different, and how to actually be self-sustaining, actually have a business for yourself. And the two things are like, and you can see it in society and culture here, and every walk of life, basically, just how you think. If you think in one way, it leads you down a completely different path. Right. And if you have a completely different opinion and think a different way, it can lead you down a different path completely. Mm. And Robert Kiyosaki ended up I think he's a billionaire now, isn't he?
Possibly,
he was 37. But he taught him, I'm only really kind of getting into it, and he taught him really, really hard lessons at the start. But it's great, it's interesting. Just two completely different walks of life on the same street.
Yeah.
And two completely different ways and paths. Ends up.
Crazy.
So what we do at the end of every episode, is we get the guests to guess a time the plane's going to come in at. Now, we give them two guesses, a guess for if the weather's good and conditions are great, and then a guess for if the conditions are terrible, you know what I mean? It's one day, it's fucking hailstones or whatever.
What'd be good if we won?
And we're going to put together a wee prize. So if whoever gets closest to it, they know we'll put together a wee prize.
Would I be a bastard and say he's not going to finish it? No.
Has anybody said that?
Nobody's pocket.
You can pick us. This
is a positive podcast.
Blaine's pulled up the previous competitors' times here. This is 2017 results.
So you can have a look through there.
What kind of times, Blaine, is the bottom 50% coming?
That's their finish times there. So
someone finished it in 13 hours.
That's
that was your man.
That's the record holder, is it?
Marty Lynch, So
fuck,
that's a record holder.
We had him on the podcast the second episode, and it's funny because you finish on a marathon. So when I went in to look at his finishing marathon time, I was thinking, right, I come on 4:40. I'll see how much I beat Marty by, because I know he had done 200 kilometers before doing this marathon. He beat me by an hour.
Fucking hell.
After
his marathon was 3:31.
3:31 after 200.
Do you know what else is?
What?
You know what else is funny too? See when he said, I'll come on the podcast, me and Blaine were like, right, this boy's going to know fucking loads of shit here. No, he's going to be up on all the science and everything. Like, and he comes on and we were like, so what lactate you, test, nutrition? He's like, no, I don't believe in any of it. Hey.
Don't believe in it.
Like,
he doesn't believe it's even real.
No, he doesn't believe in putting it under his program. Like, it's just like, I just get out and have the
just
rules.
Go. He just goes and runs. But it's like Forrest Gump was his second name, Gump.
But it's like working with a lot of athletes through the years as well too, and like especially footballers and stuff. When it comes to the actual training principles and like all that type, they just turn up and train. That's all they want to do.
Is that shocking? There's a lot of M's on there, sure. Females have amazing endurance, I always think. Where they're just not signing up. Many's entering it.
They said about 100 every year.
Maybe they females just have more entering. That's
who's going to watch the wins?
Yeah. Are you for real sure? We're going to get fucking shut down for that.
Cut my girlfriend.
Keep both of them.
I'm actually going to mention that. It's never trumping that one.
Massive amounts of misogyny going on here.
Martin Lynch, that is shocking, sir. Unreal. What a feat. Hey.
Right, we'll pick a time here.
Yeah, pick a time.
Go for it.
I would say...
Good day.
21 dead. Would you say 21 hours?
21.
Bad day? Maybe 22 and a half.
22 and a half.
22 and a half.
Seamus? I'm going to go good day, 1930.
Oh, fuck.
I've belief in you. And I'm going to go bad day, 2240.
2240.
That
believes.
Grand. I have no idea. Like, I would have to look at it more in depth and they see what, you know, each individual.
Most people don't, but most people are just literally
guessing. Yeah,
it's
like, course.
That's all you can do.
There's no...
I just know them results.
There's definitely no science behind that time. I guess just all a guess, of course. Right.
7 hours for the marathon, that'd be me fresh as a daisy, probably.
God. I did a half marathon, I think it was
150
or something.
150.
Did he?
150, yeah.
You beat me?
That's good time.
Of course I beat you.
Fucking hell. Man. Clearly, he was doping.
Supplements.
No,
again.
I was doping. The next day, I could hardly walk. My knees were in bits.
That's really good, man.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it too, yeah.
Thanks for coming on, too. I appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting us, eh?
Thanks. And hopefully, we'll keep updated.
Closer to the race or even after, we'll get you on our podcast.
Get the two of you on now.
Happy days.
For sure.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Guys, thanks very much.
Cheers.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye.